And in verse 5, again, I just want to reiterate it. We see there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah. Okay, we find this here. Verse 9, jump down to verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So, it was believed by the early church fathers that this occasion for Zacharias to burn incense was at the time, what we would say now is the time of Yom Kippur, or otherwise known as the Day of Atonement, or maybe as we know it as the Passover. It was at that time, many of the early church fathers believed that's when this time was, that Zacharias is in the temple based on that. They come to this idea based on the course of the priest of Abijah that he would have been on the 34th week. Okay, there's a lot, and I'm going to mention this later, but I'm going to mention that there's a lot of math and numbers and calendars and Jewish calendars to look at. We're not going to do all that tonight. Amen? Mm-hmm. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord for that. I'll tell you why later, but it's there in others, and you can believe them. On the Jewish calendar for them would be the Day of Atonement. So Zacharias is performing his priestly duties on the Day of Atonement. When, in verse 8, we find, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So let me just say right here, because the whole multitude was there, it gives the idea that it was not just a normal day, it was a major feast. So I just want to point that out. And so, in verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fell upon and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So the angel of the Lord told of this coming birth of John the Baptist. Look at verse 23 now. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days where he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So we find then that the time of John the Baptist's conception is set here, which would be around the month of October, not long after this time of the Day of Atonement, the Passover there. And so then look at verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Okay, now we're talking to Mary. Verse 36. And behold, by the way, I just want to say here, in verse 35 is the angel of the Lord saying, the Spirit of God is putting the seed of the Son of God in you. Okay? And so in verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. So now we know that Mary conceived, and if we want to call it that, I don't know if we want to call it she conceived, but anyway, she has the 6 months after Elizabeth. So around March to April time frame, and we can kind of find these dates and these time frames in here, which would bring the birth of Christ around the day of December 25th. I know what you're wondering right now. Say, Pastor, do you think we can know for sure that December 25th is the date of Jesus' birth? No. No, I don't think. But the answer, not really. Because if you ask the question, do you think we can know that? The answer is not really. Listen, were the Lord to want us to know that date for certain, He would clearly have given it. Amen? Not require us to have to make some historic timeline and say, well, if this was this, then that would have been this, and there is that, and then this could have been here. I don't think if He wanted us to know exactly, we wouldn't have had to do some of these things. Though I guess we We do make historic timelines to put other events in order, though, don't we? Seems like we did that this morning. Seems like we've been doing that Sunday night. So we do that in some respects, but I'm just trying to answer, do we? Listen, there are people, and I mentioned this already, but I just want to say that there are people who have done very exhaustive work to come at these dates. And I mean very exhaustive, and they're looking at these and trying to sort this thing out. And I'm giving you a very small snapshot tonight, because y'all going to fall asleep either way. But y'all really going to, everyone's going to fall asleep by getting into all that. Right? Y'all are saying, well, this week, and there's this week, you know. But then there's others that do as much work to show why it could have been a different festival that Zacharias was ministering in the temple, other than the Day of Atonement. And there's people that put work in that and said, my point in even looking at this tonight and these things tonight is to demonstrate that the early church, going very far back, believed that this was the day to be used. The furthest back that I can find any resource, and I looked, was back to about 204 A.D. A very early Christian historian by the name of Hippolytus, yeah, that's it. It's exactly probably how it may be. By the name of Hippolytus, is in his commentary on the book of Daniel, speaks of December 25th as being the birth date of Christ. You say, well, did he know? I'm just going to say that he was closer to it than we were. Right? And I'm saying this in his commentary, but let me also say this about it. Can I just say this about it? Some people say, well, that date was put in later. Okay. Then there's a fellow by the name of Sextus Julius Africanus. That's really the name that they have down for him. He was born in 180 A.D. He was the first Christian historian known to produce a universal chronology. And what he would do is he would write down this chronology of all the different events, both secular and religious, from all different kind of groups. And in 221 A.D., he also set the birth of Christ as December 25th. These are just historical documents. Okay, does that mean that's what? No. I'm just trying to give you an understanding of where this concept came from. You know, it wasn't until about 270 A.D., almost 50 years after this chronology, that the Roman Emperor Aurelian, was his name, popularized the cult of Sola Victus, or otherwise known as the Unconquered Son. And they began celebrating the birth of the Unconquered Son on December 25th. Right? That was about 50 years after this other fellow. Then there was also a Persian god by the name of Mithra, was also said to have been born on December 25th, and that would have probably been set way before that, and as well as Saturnalia, an annual Roman festival that ran from the 13th to the 23rd. Listen, there's a lot of things that ended up coming to this time. It was often thought that, or believed, and maybe it's pretty accurate, is that around December 25th, of course that moves a little bit, is the shortest day of the year. Likewise, it's still 24 hours, but the shortest, the least amount of light. And so they said, some say, well, it was for, and they used it as, well, from there would be the birth of, or, you know, this, and so the light shines forth. I don't want to go into all those things. We use a lot of anecdotal things to determine why we should worship. Now, we're not going to use that stuff. But there's all these things. So when was Christ born? I'm not sure. That helped you tonight, didn't it? I believe there's enough evidence to say that it could have been December 25th. I think there's enough evidence that people both biblically with the way these could have lined up, if it was that day, and if Elizabeth would have conceived right after that, you know, these kind of things. I'm also aware that there's enough evidence to say that it could have been some other day. So how did you help us? I don't know. I don't know how I helped you with that tonight. I'm just saying, we don't have to argue about that date. You know, you say, well, I don't think it was. Well, there's other people think it was, and they're based on some good evidence. Okay. By the way, let me mention this thing, and I did a little research on this: the sheep that couldn't be out in December in Bethlehem because it's too cold is proven quite false by many. It's proven historical documents from many, many years, as well as current eyewitnesses state that there are sheep, even lamb, outside year-round in the area of Bethlehem. And so the lowest, not the lowest, but the average temperature there, I think I looked at it, it was about 49, you know about that. You know, some, well, it's high. Well, I'm just saying there's evidence, people have been there, and there's historic evidence that says that's just categorically not true. Could have been. Okay, doesn't mean every time. I mean, there's times here that it might be too cold to be outside for me. So if the date was chosen back in the year 200 to replace the pagan festivals that were currently going on, I say, amen. Amen. You replace that with something else. It reminds me of Aaron's rod. Remember when Aaron threw his rod down and Pharaoh's magicians, they threw their rods down? And Aaron's rod ate up their rod, their snake. His snake ate their snakes. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's just what it reminds me of. There's something that the world had going on and that Christianity overtook it. Amen. I want to close with this. We're closing. I'm already to closing. Y'all excited?
Amen.
Well, that was too quick. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I appreciate you at least participating. That was on the key. Acts chapter 5 and verse 34. I want to close with this passage. I want us to consider this. Acts chapter 5, and beginning verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, having reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves, what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let him go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. No matter what was before or what was on this day that we celebrate, December 25th is now the day that the whole world celebrates the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I say, I just want to tell you this quick story. And I've mentioned it here before, but it's a good time to mention it. We were
flying to Sri Lanka, and a lot of times we fly through the Middle East because it was the cheapest tickets. And we got a layover in Dubai. And you see in Dubai, these Muslims have these things and these things. I mean, you walk around there and you look outnumbered and everybody looks, they look serious. I don't know, how serious they are, but they look serious and they don't look friendly. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure we're safe. I have all my family with me. I'm thinking, I don't know. Sometimes we get this sense that we're not, whether it's true or not, I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I hear something that sounded familiar. Some music. Now, usually I'm in those places, they play a lot of music that's not familiar to me. You know what I'm saying? But I'm hearing something. I'm like, that sounds familiar. I'm like, that's Christmas music. And I'm listening. Wait a minute. That's not just Christmas music. That's one of the Christmas carols we sing out of our hymnal. Wow. This is an airport full of Muslims. I think if you said how many here are Muslims, with my family, maybe three people would have been the only ones not raising their hands. I'm saying that kind of, and they were celebrating, in a sense, Christmas. Like, you mean they were celebrating the birth of Christ? No, they were doing something, but there was nativity scenes, there was cells, there was things that said Christmas, right? It wasn't a happy holiday, it was Christmas, and all over. What I'm saying to you folks is this, and I've seen, of course, there in Sri Lanka, a Buddhist nation that, listen, you can tell that on what they do there is on Christmas morning at midnight, fireworks go off. And they are not safe fireworks. I'm telling you, they are like unguided missiles. And it's kind of fun when you're shooting them. It's not fun when other people are shooting them. We have ran more than once from those fireworks. But you hear them all over, and I'm thinking, this is weird. They don't even know our Savior. But they would allow us to invite them to a Christmas event and tell them about the Savior. They didn't know who he was, but I'm telling you, some of the best conversations we had started around that time of our Savior coming to this earth. Listen, whatever it has been or whatever, like, well, I don't really know if that's the date or not. I don't either. I can't help you with that. I think, as I said, this is a good thing to give an educated guess. I think it's okay. Yeah, it could have been that day. You can leave here and say, yeah, it could have been. Can you leave here saying, the pastor said it is? No, I can't give you that. But I think there's at least something this could have been. But whatever it has been in the past, can I say now? It's now the day that the whole world celebrates the coming of our Savior, the Son of God, to this world. I want to just say, what a wonderful day it is. A wonderful day. As I mentioned this morning, it is the hope. The hope of this world. Can I tell you, folks, it isn't a hope. It's the hope. It's the only hope. You say, well, we can do other things. It's a good time of good cheer and good joy and great good tidings of great joy. The only reason it's a good tidings of great joy is because the Savior has won. By the way, the reason he's called the Savior and because he's just a good friend. Jesus is so nice. He's loving, kind. Isn't that great? Jesus just loves us all. Right? That's not what makes it good tidings of great joy. What's good tidings of great joy is that the Savior is born. One that saves us from the penalty of our sin. By the way, he doesn't save us from hell. I mean, yes, he does that. You're like, what? I thought that was the deal. Yes, but it's more than that. Imagine if all that he does is at the end, that would be enough. That would be enough, but he says, I'm going to save you from the burden of your sin right now. Not tomorrow. Not when you're old or when you're too tired to do any more sin. Right now. And you can live without sin. Now, what a wonderful... that's the hope. It wasn't the hope of, yeah, man, one day it's going to be great. No, the hope is right now. And the reward at the end is that we're going to spend forever with Him and not be forever separated from Him. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful day. Let's rejoice and be glad. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful. Lord, you've given us so much. Lord, there's so many things that we might distract us, squabble with, and debate, and question, and doubt. Lord, there's so many of those things that, even as we looked at in the scriptures this morning, Lord, there's folks have been trying to erase Christ from history from before He was born. Lord, I pray that You would help us tonight to just rejoice in the day of this wonderful day of hope, that we celebrate the coming of Christ to this earth, that we might rejoice. And whether it's this day or another, Lord, we generations and generations and generations this has been celebrated on this day. And others have come and other things. And Lord, some celebrate it quietly. Some celebrate it loudly. Lord, there'll be some that celebrate it solemnly and reverently, and others that will celebrate this time in such jubilation. And yet, Lord, that if each one of us will really set apart that time for You, that You would be glorified, Lord, You can be honored. Lord, I pray that You'd bless time tonight, Lord. If there's someone here that needs to make some decisions, I don't know what might be in their life, maybe there's an occasion to come to the altar. Lord, I pray that You speak to their heart. So with your head bowed, eyes closed, maybe there's someone here this evening that's come and say, I just want to spend some time. Maybe say tonight you'd be saved. Never been saved. Maybe say, I just want to just rejoice in what God's done. I'm not going to labor long. I'd like to sing with number 228. Love to tell a story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, because I know it is true. It satisfies my longing, as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Amen. Amen. I do love to tell the story. Isn't that good? I love to do that. We're going to have some time together tonight, folks. We're going to fellowship in the back. We've got some, I don't know what we got.
Yeah, cupcakes, cookies, hot chocolate, coffee. I think we've got coffee. Decaf. So, you know, you don't have to, at least you didn't drink it. All right. So we got some, games back there. We got some games. Not like, you know, we got to sit there like playing. We got basketball. We got hockey. We got shuffleboard. No, we don't have shuffleboard. We got some things back there. Why don't you stick around and fellowship a little bit? Become a fellowship and get sweetened up for your own child a bit. Mm-hmm. What's that? I'm just wanting to have a word of prayer, give thanks for it. And Brother Bob, would you come on up here and
close through prayer?